I joined the Navy in April of 1969. I attended Radio A School in Bainbridge, Maryland. Then I reported to the USS John F. Kennedy, which was CBA 67 at the time, which was already on a deployment to the Mediterranean. I caught up with it there. I worked in the communications section for a few years, and then I moved to the navigational section of the Kennedy, where I was working with the quartermasters. I did administrative work for the navigator. After that, I was transferred to Commander Fighter Wing 1 at Naval Air Station Oceana, Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I, 79, I applied for a job at the National Security Agency as a security guard and was hired in 1980. Did that job for 3 years, and then I moved to the Electrical Division under the General Services Administration at Fort Meade, Maryland. In 1986, I became, they did away with all the GSA services, so I became an actual NSA employee in 1986 and worked in the facilities section at NSA until my termination in June 13th, 1997, which was Friday the 3rd. The incident occurred on the USS John F. Kennedy. I'm not sure the exact date. It was in the summer of 1971. It more than likely was June or end of June or first part of July. The reason why I remember, at the time of the incident, I was working in the communications section of the Kennedy. My job was a broadcast operator, which meant that I retrieved messages from a series of teletypes that received fleet broadcasts to the fleet from the communication stations in the Atlantic. We were in the southern Atlantic. We had been performing a operational readiness exercise in and around Cuba and in the Caribbean Sea in preparation. Well, the war games, the Navy, you know, all the military do these exercises from time to time to keep proficiency up. We had just completed this exercise, and we were getting ready to head back to Norfolk. And we, the evening that the incident occurred, they had just finished a long flight ops in excess of 18 hours. So most of the crew had just gone below decks after a rather long flight ops, and they were pretty tired, so they went below. I was on duty in the communications room, and the teletypes were, of course, they were crypto. All the communications came through cryptographic equipment, which was very susceptible to interference from time to time. So I kept a close watch on the incoming messages, and if I noticed any abnormalities, I would call facilities control and have them adjust the receivers to keep the signals clear. This particular night, I took a message off the teletype and filed it because it was not to us, and I turned around to check the teletypes again and saw something I had never seen before, and that was that all eight teletypes were just typing complete garbage, totally incoherent. I had seen one or two, you know, mistakes in the messages, but never anything this extensive. So I immediately called the facilities control on the intercom to inform them that my broadcasts were out, and they informed me that they were busy because all communications had just gone out ship-wide. And this had never occurred before in my time. Of course, I had a few seconds later, we heard we had an intercom and a pneumatic tube system that went between the communications room to the signal bridge, which was located on the very top of the island structure of the carrier. And we heard a voice come on, very excited, yelling that God was here. It was the end of the world. And we looked at each other and thought, well, that's strange. What's going on there? Another few seconds went by, and another voice came on, more controlled. This person said that there's something over the ship, is what he said. There's something over the ship. Well, I looked at a friend of mine, a shipmate, and he looked at me, and we decided to go have a look, which was really breaking the rules. We weren't supposed to leave the comm area during watch, but nothing was working anyway, so we figured, being young. So we exited the communication center and went to the catwalk on the port side of the ship, on the flight deck, edge of the flight deck, and we observed a large glowing sphere over the island structure of the ship, over the ship. It was hard to decide what size this thing was, because there was no perspective. It was late in the evening. The sun had gone down. It was twilight. But it looked huge. I would say anywhere from 300 or 400 feet to a quarter of a mile, depending on how high it was. If it was high and it was huge, you know. It glowed in a pulsating manner between a yellowish and an orangish color. I couldn't see any details other than a glowing spherical object. Unfortunately, I only got to observe this object for less than 30 seconds, because by the time we got out there and started looking at it, general quarters went off on the ship, battle stations, and we had to go back to our watch station, which was our battle stations. We stayed at general quarters or battle stations for about 2 hours. It was only several minutes after we got back to the communication center that the messages started coming in again. Incoming started coming in. Outgoing was still out. So it wasn't that long we were out of communications, maybe 20 minutes at the most. Of course, I stayed on watch until my watch ended, which was at midnight. After that, I talked to a few friends, some shipmates that I had on the ship. One in particular worked in the radar department, and he was on watch during the incident, and he told me that all the radar screens were glowing and nothing. They couldn't detect anything on radar. And we stayed up most of the night talking about it, a few friends of mine. We heard stories about the compasses not working on the bridge, and that the radar navigational system had gone offline. For instance, I heard from some people that the first voice on the intercom that we heard yelling, saying it was the end of the world, was actually a bosun's mate lookout that was on watch on the signal bridge. We heard through stories that this person had to be sedated, was very upset, and we heard that the second voice that we heard was actually a signalman that was on watch on the signal bridge, the one that said it was just something over the ship, the more controlled voice. A few days later, the commanding officer and the executive officer came on the closed circuit television system that we had on board. It was the only way they could address the crew of 5,000. His speech, he looked at the camera, and I'll never forget this, he looked at the camera and he said, "I would like to remind the crew that certain events that take place on board a major naval combatant vessel are considered classified and should not be discussed with anyone without any need to know." Unquote. That's all he said. He didn't say we had a... So that the commanding officer and the executive officer were pretty upset during the incident, because they had no control over anything and they were very vulnerable, which I'm sure was upsetting for any military people when you're not in control. The propulsion system still worked. We could maintain the speed and course. We could steer. But from all the stories that I heard, anything that was electronic in nature ceased to operate or was malfunctioning. This included any computer systems. It did, at the time, have nuclear weapons on board. This was a known fact to us, but we were in the Mediterranean. We were not supposed to talk about it because weapons, but they weren't going to deploy a carrier anywhere in the world without nuclear capabilities. But the altitude of the object appeared to be pretty low. Now, I did get a message from a former serviceman, a U.S. Navy serviceman, that said he was on a destroyer in the vicinity, and that they had tracked an object on radar in sometime that summer. Now, he couldn't remember. I also got a message from a man that had been a sailor on the ship, had worked with the computers, and he remembered somebody getting him up to come and work on the reboot the computer system, and he had said what happened, and they said a UFO was over the ship, and he laughed it off, thought it was a joke. And he just chalked it up to a computer crash and rebooted the system. It wasn't until he read my story that he remembered that. And he said, well, they weren't joking. But all this time, he thought it was just a joke. And eyewitnesses, it was only actually over the ship for maybe 5 minutes or less. However, the ramifications of the disruptions lasted for at least an hour. That's why we stayed at battle stations for 2 hours. I guess they were waiting to see if it came back, or and they were still trying to restart systems and get things back and fully operational. It took them probably at least an hour, and then there was probably a buffer zone there. There were no aircraft in the air. They were all on board when the incident started. They kept two F-4 Phantoms, which were called a Ready Cap Combat Air Patrol. From what I heard, they would not operate. They were trying to start those jets, and they, from what I heard, the rumors and the stories that they wouldn't start, that they were out of commission. We observed no noise from the object. It was quiet on the flight deck at the time, because I said there was no flying, no aircraft running, so it was rather quiet. We discerned no sound whatsoever, no humming, nothing, just a complete silence.
What was the size of it?
Rotate a little bit this way, a little bit crooked. A little bit more, just a little bit more. A little bit more, there we go.
Okay. This just states that I was a broadcast operator, and it was during that time period. Can't see the dates. One September 70 to one March 71. Okay. Okay. The officer that gave me my evaluation,
February 71.
Right, Lieutenant Commander Gorham.
You know his name.
Some men arrived on the ship when we returned to Norfolk to interview some people in suits. Lord knows where they came from, what agency they were from, but I had heard it. Because I wasn't a legitimate observer, I wasn't even supposed to be out there, I guess nobody really knew I saw it. But I'm sure the rumor I heard that all the bridge crew, people that were on the bridge, were interviewed by these gentlemen in suits, and some people in some operational areas, radar, and we had an organization on the ship called IOIC, and it was Integrated Operations Intelligence Communications, something to that effect. I remember the acronym, but I don't remember the exact meaning. And I'm sure I had heard that they were out taking pictures of this thing. I'm convinced that there's something to it. I'm convinced that the government, somebody in the government knows a lot more than we know. I have my own theories of why it's being hidden. I think it's the reason that the information is being kept in the public is there are many reasons, not just one particular reason.
What would those
be? They probably feel that the general public couldn't handle the knowledge of extraterrestrial visiting. I think that they have information that would seriously undermine the economy of the country. I think there's devices that they have that could produce energy at very low cost and with no pollution, but the corporate greed would prohibit that. And that would be the part that would bother me most about the cover-up. I think of all the pollution there is and all that could have been saved. That would bother me more than anything. And also, I think anytime the military discover something like this, they want to keep it quiet because they don't know who knows about it. And there's a paranoia in the military. I've seen it. Definitely. It's definitely time to make this disclosure on this. It's been kept secret too long. I think We have a right to know what we have to face, be it an asteroid heading for Earth or an extraterrestrial visitor. I think as human beings, we have the right to know what our future may bring. It's a God-given right. I think what I was observing was the underside of possibly a disk, which would cause it to look spherical from my vantage point. I've thought about it a lot, and that's the conclusion I've come to. It wasn't a bright glow. It, like I said, it pulsated between yellow and orange. It wasn't... Yeah.